We have a couple of questions to start out from the box. Unless we take a long time answering those, we're going to shift very quickly over to you folks. The first one is a very good question with respect to overcoming, with respect to our time and the relationship between the time we spend in our work activities versus the time we spend in our activities that is in direct service to the Lord. It reads, how do we balance doing our earthly jobs, that is, as unto the Lord, with extra effort or extra time, with the thought that we should cut off that which is unnecessary so that we have time for the things of the Lord? I think about that for just a minute, and we'll open this one up to anyone who has a thought on this subject. Okay, Brother Steve, what? How do we balance? Oops, stay over here. How do we balance doing our earthly jobs as unto the Lord, those in quotes, with the thought that we should cut off that which is unnecessary so that we have time for the things of the Lord?
I have an answer. I just wanted to hear the question.
But thank you anyway. I think Brother Dennis has a thought.
I appreciate what Brother Perry had to say in the last meeting as far as time management, and I'm one who is not very good at time management, and that in to the level of Brother Perry keeps speaking about, and I would like to be. But also another thing is we often think that we only serve the Lord when we're at home reading the volumes, and that's not the case. I've been trying to change my attitude and remember throughout the day that we serve the Lord all day long, even when we're at work. And in little things like what Sister Barbara Tana brought out about the gossiping, those little things are tests and are going to make us look odd, and things like that we have to deal with. And then there's people's impatience and all those different things, our own weaknesses we have to deal with daily. That's where we apply what we're reading. So it's not as if, you know, we can only serve the Lord at home reading the volumes. That's the point I wanted to make.
Okay, very good thought. It isn't a specific activity of serving the Lord. It's our life is serving the Lord. Okay, Brother Steve.
Yeah, I was thinking there's several thoughts here. I really like this thought of applying. Oftentimes we can take 15 minutes and make it last a whole day to just take a short little, just a morning manna, for instance, and try to apply that throughout the day. And the other thought, yeah, I battle with this too, I think we probably all do it at work.
Yeah.
But one of the other thoughts that's really struck me in times past is, the Israelites were kind of chided for not giving the best animal. They would pick the sore, the sick animals, and sacrifice those. And that's got me to thinking. Oftentimes, when I get home, I'm pretty tired and pretty exhausted, especially if it's really demanding a lot. Whereas in the morning, where I'm not a morning person, if you get up in the morning and you're able to study at that point in time, you should have more energy than towards the end of the day. And one suggestion would be to accomplish whatever is possible early in the day, and perhaps then throughout the day try to apply it.
Mm-hmm.
And get more benefits from that direction.
That's a good point. And there are some people that say they get their wind about 9 o'clock in the evening. So that's their best hour. And I think that's the point there, is that whatever the best hour is, or best 15 minutes, as you say, if you can set that aside for the Lord, just specifically, and what it's saying here, setting something aside specifically for the Lord, then the application, as you put it, works back into the whole day. Yeah. Okay, other thoughts on that? And Brother Dan, behind.
I'm sure the answer would vary according to the circumstance. in something like this. For example, the pastor suggests one who has a money-making talent, for example, might curb his efforts along that line in order to have more time to serve the Lord. Whereas some of us may have certain requirements just to maintain the standards that the apostle lays out of providing the things needful and decent in the sight of all. And our jobs might require us, in order to maintain those employments, a little longer hours from time to time. In which case, then, I don't think the Lord would disapprove of our best efforts in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
I think the suggestion had been alluded to that we are serving the Lord all day long from the standpoint of our conduct and how we conduct ourselves during the day. So we become living epistles to our co-workers and our employers all day long. And so there are many lessons and valuable things we can do to serve the Lord along that line and be cognizant of throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Thank you, Brother Dan. Did I hear one other? Did I see one other hand? What? Brother Rob?
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment on that.
Good.
This is something that I struggle with daily, this particular question. So I don't think I have it taken care of, but some of my thoughts on the matter, at least for my own case, are, like Brother Larry said, in respect to the car, what things... what was I going to say here now? What things are necessary to take care of, and what things do you think are necessary to take care of? And putting aside those things that you think are necessary. And I'm guilty of thinking that more things are necessary than really are.
Yeah.
And so the scripture that comes to my mind, and like Brother Harry said, trusting in this promise, Brother Stanley, trusting it, believing that the Lord will do this, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added unto you. I truly believe that the Lord will take care of the smallest matters of your life if you try your best to take care of His business. And so I hope I can do that better when I leave here. I certainly am going to try to employ a lot of these tools myself.
Good. Okay. And Brother Perry, and then Brother Craig, and then we'll maybe open it up for another question here before we use the whole hour on the one.
Okay, the problem or the question, as I understand it, is how do we
balance it?
How do you balance it? There seems to be some different situations. Perhaps if your job requires extra long hours, Brother Dan said that sometimes you'll have extra long hours. But what you need to really look at is this going to be something that's going to be a permanent situation? Am I going to be working 14 hours a day for perpetuity, or is this a one-shot deal because we have a once-a-year campaign? Who knows? You know, whatever the deal is. And so I think you have to take a balanced and logical look at it, and you know, even sit down with your boss or and talk with them, and with respect to what their expectations are of you, and then you don't have to tell them, you don't want to cast your pearls before swine and say, wow, this is only my avocation. I got real serious business, you know, studying the truth at home. You know, you don't want to say something like that, which would be silly and they wouldn't understand and might get you in trouble, and rightfully so, because for being foolish. But what you want to do is assess what their expectations. They may not expect you to stay until 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and they may not even notice. You know, I've seen situations where the boss goes home at 5 o'clock, and some of the people stayed till 8 or 9, and the boss isn't even there to notice or care. And so usually what they're concerned with is you get your job done, and perhaps you can be more efficient. If you're not off gossiping over here or wasting time over there, standing by the coffee pot or something like that, reading your newspaper, you know, at work or something like that, and some others are, but then they stay till 8 or 9 o'clock, maybe they're staying late because they're inefficient. So you have to analyze if it's necessary for you to stay late. If it looks like it's going to be a requirement of the job for perpetuity, maybe you ought to start looking for another job. And again, watching and praying, always watching and praying. Don't want to jump, you know, we've heard of brethren who have maybe left the situation too soon, and they got it even into more trouble. Maybe they didn't have a job at all, and then they were so upset about that that they couldn't, even though they had all the time in the world, they couldn't study because they were so upset about it. So you have to take a balanced view and assess the short-term and long-term expectations of the situation. Pray about it. Watch and pray, watch and pray. And often the Lord will provide an answer that's pretty clear-cut and as to which course of action to take.
Look for the choices. Yes. Okay. Brother Craig up front here, Brother Rob, and for our last comment. And
I was going to say, Brother Perry got in a couple of good points there that I think we were just going to duplicate, so I'll try to get a couple of others. Going back to some other things that were brought up earlier today, and that is taking care of oneself. So you go to work or whatever you're going to do, but basically you start your day rested. You become aware of, you know, what you eat that makes you sluggish, so you stay away from that. Keep your mind alert and active so that you are in condition to work efficiently and also be able to study efficiently, recognize your rhythms and balances, things like that. The other thing I think goes back to that point of making the choice, you know, is this job worth what it's going to take? And the other one, this is out of a discourse that I heard, and I believe Brother Sundbaum, but it reminded me of a particular point that he was making, that he had been offered a supervisor's job, and I'm sure some of you know the story, but had been offered this job and elected not to take it because there was another man there who also wanted it very badly and recognized that that was the only thing this man had. And Brother Sundbaum had the truth, obviously, in the Lord. And it didn't take too much longer after this man getting the supervisor's job that I believe he passed away or something, and Brother Sundbaum got it. But the point was, Brother Sundbaum made a choice in that to allow somebody else to have something that would mean something more to him while he kept a better position as he felt with the Lord.
Okay. Very good. And one other point, depends on whether you have the same failings that I do. Mine is a very poor ability to say no. And that's I can see Brother Craig smiling out there, and he knows that it's not just a very poor ability, it's almost an inability. And that there are times where we do just need to say no. You know, to those things that are overburdening us, and that always has to be balanced out with all the things that the brother brought up. We do have to maintain our fleshly existence, and to the extent that we can redeem time, as has been brought out, we redeem the time. We put ourselves in the most advantageous position. We let our light shine all day long. And we serve the Lord to the best of our ability through those processes. Yeah. You have a question? Okay, we have a question over here.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Brother Tom, and the brethren. Let me just be frank. I find myself enjoying what I do at work, and I mean, this is again on the same theme. You know, we spend most of us anyway, a third of our life at work, at least, if not more these days. And I experienced some guilt about this, as if I would be being more of an overcomer if somehow I didn't enjoy my job so much. And so I seek those things at work that will bring kind of more satisfaction. Is this in the brethren's? I'd like to hear the brethren's thoughts if this is kind of like a dangerous direction, if I should kind of pursue something I don't enjoy as much so that I won't want to spend as much time doing it. I mean, like with Brother Scheffelbund, what Brother Craig said, you know, he ended up getting this promotion, which in the world's eyes is a good thing. Maybe it brought him more satisfaction. Is this a bad thing to desire? And how do you deal with this tension between enjoying something here on this earth now, you know, opposed to putting roots down in a place where we shouldn't be.
Okay, the little different twist here. If we enjoy our avocation, is there something wrong with that? And is it dangerous? And if so, what do we do? And if not, why not? I see Brother Dan has a comment.
Two thoughts came to mind while Brother David was speaking. One, yes, it could be a danger. But two, it's also an opportunity. And it's an opportunity for sacrifice. What is it to sacrifice something you don't like? It doesn't cost very much. But to sacrifice something you do enjoy, there's a little cost involved, and that's a real privilege, because that's what we've entered into, is a covenant of sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's curbing our likes, as you were, in order that we might have more to give to the Lord, is a sacrifice, then we can count that as a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Brother John, up front here.
Yes, the thought I would have, it's a matter of priorities, too. Now, you can enjoy your work, but what do you enjoy more, serving the Lord or your job? And you have to use common sense, too. I mean, there has to be a balance there. But we do have to prioritize our lives and what is the most important thing in our lives.
Yeah.
And that needs to be addressed first. And hopefully, I think everybody in this room has the very same ultimate and maximum goal.
Yeah, and keeping that one up there,
right,
high priority, then the other should fall into place under that somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there is certainly nothing wrong with enjoying your work. It's a lot better and a lot more healthy than not liking your work.
You get a little, you have a little more energy to serve the Lord when you're not there, if you've enjoyed when you were there. Yes. Okay. Brother Darcy Andrus in the back.
Brother Tom, just wanted to comment that if we have the opportunity to enjoy the privileges that the Lord has given to us, we should take advantage of that.
Yeah.
It is not our responsibility to look for and get ourselves into those things we don't like. Enough of those will come as part of our growing experience anyway. So we should appreciate those privileges and blessings that the Lord does bestow,
mm-hmm,
because we have entered into a full consecration and given up all these things. So anything we have that we enjoy,
mm-hmm,
is actually above and beyond our consecration and should be appreciated as a blessing from the Lord.
Yeah.
The pastor also admonishes us that it is not bad to seek to improve our situation. But we have to, as has already been well commented on, we have to measure that against our consecration and seek that which improves it towards the Lord and the truth and the brethren.
Yeah, good. That's excellent. If the Lord gives us a blessing, thank Him. Yeah, and enjoy the blessing that He has given us. Brother Harry has a comment up here. Yeah, that you know, sometimes we feel guilty about accepting the Lord's blessing. We don't feel worthy, and well, no, we're not. But He showers them on us anyway, and we get to accept those and get to enjoy them. Yeah, Brother Harry.
Yeah, I think a lot of this comes down to idol worship. The whole idea of idol worship was, why it was wrong, is because if you're giving time, talents, veneration, anything that is due to the Heavenly Father, you're giving it to something else, that's wrong. I mean, we shouldn't set up idols. And it could be a job that we love so much, we'd rather do that than anything else. It could be a nice house,
mm-hmm,
car, clothes, prestige, fame, whatever it is. See, a person could have all of those things, nice house, car, clothes, nice job, all this good stuff, but if it doesn't detract from their veneration for the Lord, their dedication to the Lord, their,
yeah,
service, their sacrificing, so what? It's a, you know, if the Lord says, if I take that away, will anything change? Well, no. I mean, you're... No, or if the Lord can say, well, here's a blessing. You can use it in my service. But if he gives us something that would be a detriment to us and be a snare for us, then it's something we should make straight paths for our feet. Say, I can't trust myself with this.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then we should avoid that situation. But it's not the thing itself. It's how the person uses or views that thing. Is it really a detriment to our consecration?
What's going on right here in the heart is what you're saying. And if the right things are going on in the heart with the right emphasis with the Lord, the other things, it's good to enjoy all of the life that the Lord has given us and realize that it all came from the Lord so that we've got that focus. Sister Linda, did I impose upon your thoughts? Good. All right.
I'd just like to give the reference of the manna for October 18th.
Okay.
And it's based on the Proverbs 18, verse 9. He that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Can I read the comment?
Sure.
We cannot see wastefulness in any of the Lord's consecrated people without feeling that, however great progress they have made in understanding the mind of the Lord, in some respects, they are still deficient in this particular. An appreciation of the gift and respect for the giver implies carefulness and a stewardship in respect to all that comes to us from our Heavenly Father, things temporal and things spiritual. According to our Lord's parables, He is measuring our love and zeal in a considerable degree by our use or abuse of the talents, opportunities, blessings, temporal and spiritual, now bestowed upon us.
Excellent. Okay. We'll have Brother Stan.
There's nothing wrong with liking your work. But the problem comes in is when you like it so much that you do more than is necessary or than is required of you in your work. So that would detract from your time to the Lord. But there's nothing wrong with liking your work. It's when the liking of your work makes you contribute more than is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like asking yourself, is this trip necessary when you're in some kind of a project?
Mm-hmm.
If it isn't necessary, you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. And Brother Steve had a comment, and then we'll go on here. We're going to run out of time. We do have one more written question, and Brother Steve.
Okay, thank you. Just a couple thoughts. One, I think a person's going to do better what they like, and they're going to be able to accomplish it better. So that's a real plus.
Mm-hmm.
And then, how can we analyze our heart? I think that's the question. How can we analyze our heart in that? Matthew 6:21 is keyed off of that. Is reprint 8:74. It's really good on this. It says, the heart's treasure is that for which we would do and make the greatest sacrifices of time, strength, and convenience. Where your treasure is, your heart will be, and what you sacrifice most for becomes your treasure. That which costs us most and which we give most for, we love most, and thus it is proved to be our treasure. So just a thought to think about.
Okay. So it's what we treasure, that's the key. And as Brother Russell comments there very directly, it we would be remiss if we didn't use the talents we have in our work. And those talents become transferable from your job into what you're doing for the Lord. How many of us have used the work we do for our sustenance ends up producing something that we can turn around and apply with respect to the direct service to the Lord. Yeah. All right. We have Brother Rob, you want to come over to Brother Stan? Because this was a question that I think is best asked answered by Brother Stan, since the question is, if I understood correctly, Brother Gorga said to be fully consecrated is not enough. Please expand on this question, or does this make sense? Now, I'm not sure what the it's a written, and we can't ask the person because there's no name. We let that be anonymous. But in reference to full consecration, it says full consecration is not enough. Did you have a thought that way, or do you have any clue as to what it is that you might have been saying that was heard that way?
I think Brother Russell brings to our attention that making a consecration is not enough. We have to progress, you see.
Mm-hmm.
If we make a consecration and we're static,
now I understand, yeah.
You see, it's not enough. We have to develop into the new creature.
Good. Thank you. I was reading it and I was drawing a blank. I appreciate that. You got to, that's the starting point, deconsecration. I was thinking of consecration as our whole life. And that's where I got hung up. Yeah, and probably was the same reason that this question was asked. Yeah. Okay. Sister Weber, Sister Dorothy back there, please.
And the index of the reprint on overcoming is that very thought. Consecration is not enough.
Okay.
We must, in order to have overcomers, we have to have the trials and our faith and our humility and the Lord's strength and to reason upon the Lord's word.
Good.
So just pick up that index and you'll see it under.
Just that very thing underneath there. Okay, Brother Stan, you want to follow up over here? Okay, we'll get the mic around to you just right there.
We can't make anything but a full consecration. We can't make a half a consecration or a part consecration. We must make a full consecration. And then the Lord takes it from there. He begets us and so forth, and then we have to progress.
Yeah.
So making a consecration is just the beginning, and it has to be full if it's be acceptable to the Lord.
Good point. Thank you. Yeah. All right. And Brother David?
Just put simply, all overcomers will have been consecrated, but not all consecrators will be overcomers.
Exactly. Exactly. Sister Christina?
Yeah, I just what I got out of what Brother Stan said about that, I thought he said to be a fully consecrated believer is not enough. We must progress.
Yeah.
And I thought what he was saying is that to believe in the knowledge and the doctrine is not enough. We have to apply it to make our calling and election sure.
And I see him shaking his head yes. Okay, good. So there's the feedback. You got the point across. Good. All right. We've got time enough for at least one more question. Is there a question? Brother Bob.
This was actually in Brother Stan's talk, but it applies to all the talks in the symposium. The thought is that when we have these thoughts that come into our head, and we recognize that they're impure or whatever have you, or however you want to describe it, we should dispel them as soon as possible. So my question is how do you do that? How do you get rid of, I get thoughts in my head and, it's like the song on the radio. It just won't go away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Over Brother Steve and then we'll come back over here.
Well, I like the thought that, if you tell yourself you're not going to think about bananas, all you think about is bananas. And I know that's a common thing to have said, but I think it really is true. And the only way that I've been able to be successful at this is to immediately set my mind on the truth and fill it with the truth and principles of the truth so full that thought's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And also have of course initially the thought, well, I am determined I'm not going to spend any time on this thought, and then immediately go to the truth and try to fill the mind with the truth, reading, and if that's a hard thing, then put on the hymns and listen to the hymns.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sister Wojcik over here is next.
Well, it's basically the same. You just immediately go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, help me. And then you start singing a hymn or filling your mind with better things.
Okay.
Going to the Lord in prayer puts your mind elsewhere. That process changes what you're thinking about without what you're expressing to the Lord even. Yeah. Okay. And Brother Ross. Yeah.
I think Sister Rosemary said it, but what's given me some success is going immediately to the Lord. I ask the Lord's forgiveness because there might be a measure of culpability in the thought. And then I also ask for his assistance, and then trying to, whatever it takes, to start replacing. It's sometimes difficult to get rid of a bad thought unless you can replace it with a better one, a good one. So that's what I try to do as soon as possible.
Okay. Sister Barbara.
Sometimes I just say, get thee behind me, Satan, and then think upon the Lord, and that's what helps me.
Okay, there's taking a firm stand. That's withstanding first, and then move on. In other words, you know, just trying to move on, you haven't done anything to get rid of. Yeah, but putting a stop right there. Yes. Okay, man, I've got a volume of hands. We'll come up here. This hit a hot spot. I can see that.
Actually, she brought up my thought in a sense that, get thee behind me, Satan. We've been just recently studying on our Lord's temptations in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And he combated the things that Satan threw out to him through the scriptures. That he had been in study of the scriptures for, I can't remember how many days,
40
days. And then was combated with these, you know, thoughts from Satan, and he used the scriptures to combat them.
That's a good point. Maybe get thee behind me is not always the response for that particular thought, but another scripture should be the response. Yeah, so if we start searching our mind for what is a good response for this thought, what's the antithesis of the thought we have from the Lord that offsets it.
One other thing too, I thought that, you know, the response, there's some of us that are slower in thinking, and the response doesn't necessarily have to be immediate, but if a week from now you think of the right scripture, then you think, gosh, right, that's right.
Yeah.
you've had the success because you know now how you should think about this the next time it comes up.
Okay. Sister Frances had her hand up also.
Well, we all have this terrible thing to battle, and it's good to look at it from the Lord's standpoint. We know that he allows these things to happen, just like he permits evil of all kinds, and he won't take it away until it's done his work in us. But one way that I take away evil thoughts, which come during the night, I have a tape recorder beside me, and I put these wonderful talks on, and they immediately seem to take away wrong thoughts. But I have this battle every day. But I notice that at a very definite time, he immediately takes it away. And oh, what a relief. So I know that it has some work that it does in us.
Yeah, okay. And we might note that having the thought come in is not the sin. It's keeping it and dwelling on the thought.
Yeah.
So the idea is we have thoughts moving in and out of our consciousness all day long. And those that we don't want there, it's just kind of like, oh, well, here comes another one. Oh, note it and let it go on, you know, and just, yeah, acknowledge that it was there, and yeah, I don't care to participate, thank you, and let it move on and let the next thought come in. You know, it takes a little work on that. I've been working on some of that for quite some time and am marginally successful. All right.
couple minutes. Okay, well then we'll just include a couple more thoughts. Brother John.
Well, you just stole one of my two thoughts, and that was, you know, you can't prevent a bird from landing on your head, but you can sure stop them from building a nest. And that's basically what you said, in other words. The second thought is that you can't have two thoughts going on at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think of the scripture that talks about, think of those things that are good and those things that are beautiful. If they have any value, think on these things. And if you're doing that, then there's no room for anything else.
Good point. You know, in today's computing, they've got multi-processors. So they're doing multiple things all at the same time. As great as our mind is, if we only process one thing at a time. And so, put the right thing in their processing and the other isn't going to get a chance. Sister Christina, and then we'll turn it over to the chairman.
Well, I should have asked this sooner because I'm not sure what people are thinking of when they think of impure thoughts. So I was trying to think of an example. And, I mean, one thing I thought of, I guess, is thinking a negative thought about someone else, like they're not very good at their job or, you know, I'm so irritated by that person right now. And I thought one thing that helps me is to think, why am I thinking this? To stop and think, what's causing this thought to come into my mind? Maybe it's that I'm working too hard or I'm feeling overworked or something else is really bothering me and I'm kind of projecting that onto someone else. And so to stop and wonder,
yeah,
where did this thought come from will help it keep from coming again.
So yes. So maybe that thought is what you're saying. If we work with that thought just a little bit, we can get back to the root of what's happening. And if we're just trying to get rid of it, we keep throwing the water on the top of the flames, and the log keeps burning. And so if we can get down to the log and get the water on the log, then that's a real permanent solution to the thoughts. Okay. Thank you, brother, for participating. Made my job real nice and easy this hour, and we appreciate the Lord's blessing on the time.
Thanks, Brother Tom. Wow, what a day. We're at the close of the first day of this two-day convention, and I'd like to thank the brethren who served at the platform, Brother Perry and Brother Dennis at the back, and Brother Robbie with the technical side of things, Brother Ed at the piano, and all of you for your participation and your attention. It's been a wonderful day. We can reminisce about it shortly as we start a whole evening of fellowship. Let us end with hymn number 42. This is Brother Tom's suggestion, after which we'll have Brother Tom close the services with prayer and offer a blessing on the evening meal. And after this, just stay in your seats and we'll have Brother Tom read actually the manna. It was supposed to be the songs of the night, but as some of you have noted, the brother this morning read the songs of the night instead, because this book, you know, is convertible. So that's okay. We'll get the blessing either way. So let's sing now hymn number 42.
dearly beloved Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege we've had of addressing some questions and searching out Thy Spirit by our fellowship together on the questions that we pray that the answers given and the discussion might help each one of us to more fully fulfill our consecration vows to Thee, to be more than overcomers, that we might hear that well done, good and faithful servant. For the evening ahead of us, we thank Thee for the temple provisions, and we especially look forward to the spiritual fellowship and the joy that we can share together throughout the evening hour. We ask Thy blessing upon that time and upon the temple provisions, and we commit the evening into Thy care and keeping. In Jesus' name, amen. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of Thy hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto Thee, O King, that we will not serve Thy gods, nor worship the golden image which Thou hast set up. Daniel 3:17-18. The answer of the Hebrews to Nebuchadnezzar, our God whom we serve, is worthy of note. They not only acknowledged God and worshiped Him, but they additionally served Him according as they had opportunity. Let us resolve, dear brethren, as did the three Hebrews, that we will worship and serve only the Lord our God, that we will neither worship nor serve sectarianism in any of its many forms, nor mammon with its enticements and rewards, nor fame, nor friends, nor self. God seeketh such as worship Him in spirit and in truth, is the declaration of our Lord and Head.